What's it say? Whenever I'm up here, it makes you paranoid a little bit. Yeah, I guess not. Some strange stuff. Patrice talked about the Highway Church. I don't know how many of you are aware of it. We support missions in this church. We support several levels. One, we participate within the Southern Baptist Convention. We give to the cooperative program, which, by the way, that cooperative program dollars out of that, it's used. You're supporting something like 8,000 missionaries right now between the international and home missions and all over. You're supporting a large number of mission projects. In addition to that, through those cooperative program dollars, you support seminaries that are training pastors and missionaries and others to go out with the gospel message. And we do all that because you guys have put it in your budget, okay, in the budget for this church, which I'm happy to see I'm part of too, okay? So it's not just you, but I get to participate in that as well. But in addition to that, this church has designated and determined that we were going to support a new mission start here within our association, okay? And that's the Highway Church. It's over in Golden Valley. And we give a small part of our budget every month to support that church. And other churches in our association and other places have supported it. So it's one of the works that you're doing, you have a part in. And I want you to understand, that's why that note was sent to us to say thank you for supporting them. By the way, they were also the recipients of our old chairs, okay? So just so you remember that and know that that's where those chairs went to. Lisa's looking at the chairs like, you got new chairs? Yeah, I knew it would be a strange one for Lisa. By the way, if you didn't know, Lisa's here, and I'd like to point out with her are her sister and her brother-in-law. And though Don and Sharon are the ones that Ginger and I have spent many, many days with over, and they've tolerated us. They've loved Ginger. They tolerated me, okay? Put up with us over there. We've intruded in them while Ginger has received her medical treatments, and we're so very thankful for Lisa and for I can't remember the last name. Dyke, that's it. I knew that. In the Dykes, that Don and Sharon, for welcoming us into their homes. Okay, so with that said, I kind of want to take a shift. We've been looking in Mark, but I had some real problems this week. So as I've watched the television, how many of you have watched the fires burning and seen? Yeah, you've seen it. Lisa, is it real close to you guys? To where?
Yeah, one of the fires was over there.
Just not far. I was wondering, because I knew Dodd and Sharon were a little further away, but I wasn't sure where it was in relationship to your home. The fires have been burning there. We've watched it, and I've read the stories, read the reports. You've watched it. You've seen the pictures of entire neighborhoods just gone. It's not like, you know, the house was knocked over. It's gone. It's been literally up in smoke, okay? And then, you know, you've seen about that. And then think about, in addition to that, the businesses. I mean, I understand over 12,000 structures have been just destroyed, you know, included in that. And I don't know where the number is. That was the last report I got yesterday. So it was over about 12,300 structures just gone. And I understand that, you know, it's still continuing to burn. There's still going to be more added to that number. I understand that there's been about a dozen lives lost so far. You know, you've got 16 now, so that was more than the last count that I've got, but 16. So it's still building. It's still coming. Think about, the fact that in addition to the homes and the people, I mean, each of those homes represents a family, you know, basically. And who knows what exactly that consisted of in the family, but how many people that impacted right there. And then in addition to that, the businesses that have been destroyed and the livelihoods that have been erased, taken away. And I've thought about that suffering. I've thought about, it's just impacted me in a different way, is maybe because it's going on right now, I don't know. But just watching it, seeing the pictures, reading the stories of people. And the thing that has come back over and over and over again is, my life is gone. My life is gone. And as I think about that, it saddens me. Not just because of the loss of their livelihoods and their family, their homes, but because that they consider that to be their life. Now, I understand the loss, and I don't want to minimize this in any way, shape, or form. But it's made me take a step back and say, is that all our life is? You know, and you go back in time, and you reflect back on what's happened in the past and the people that have been here that preceded us. You know, we have this one moment in time. We look around, we know the people that we interact with right here, right now. But every one of us represents a lineage. There have been people who have been here before us. You know, people in our lineage that go back. And what do we know of their lives? Is everything gone now that they are gone? You know, it makes me begin to think. And to ask the question, what is it that really matters? What is it that's important? What is it, and if this were to happen to me, if my home, the home that you provide for me, if that were just to burn down and every possession I had were just to be gone, you know, the car, my motorcycle, all the wonderful things that represent my life, if they were just gone, would that be my life? What would be remembered? What would be left of who I am? What would continue? And I think it's a question that every one of us needs to face. The disasters are continuing to mount. And as I've thought about this, you know, yes, this is a disaster that's nearby, that's kind of accentuating these questions for me. But think about it. Just a few months ago, there was homes destroyed in the eastern United States. There were floods that just washed away entire towns. And people are still struggling. I understand that some of them were put out in the middle of a winter storm. They were evicted from their FEMA homes or whatever, the provisions that were given to them. And they're out in the winter storm. I don't understand that, but the point is that their people are still suffering from a storm that happened, what was it, 3-6 months ago? Okay, and people are struggling. And not only that, we only see here this microcosm of the United States so oftentimes, but to realize that there are people in every nation, on every continent, that are suffering in so many of the same ways. And when their life is gone, what's left? When you take away all their possessions, you take away all the things that they rely upon and that define them, what's left? What's left? Kind of a scary thought, isn't it? Pardon me?
Insurance check.
Yeah. But it's kind of a scary thought to think about. How are you going to be remembered? How are people going to remember you in the life that you've lived? What will they be saying? I want us to go to the passage in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 6, this is the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is speaking to those who have who've chosen to be following him, and he's gathered a group and he's talking to all of them, kind of almost in an amphitheater situation. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, he says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Father, I pray that as we spend some time looking at your word, that you will use this time to help us reflect upon our own lives and the experiences that we are having. And I pray, God, that you will help us to to restructure our lives, to reevaluate maybe what we really consider to be important. And help us, God, to honor you in the way we choose to live. Speak to our hearts. Send your spirit. In Christ's name. Amen. You know, as I read those passages, you know, it talks about the moth, the vermin, the thieves. Well, here's the fire or the storm, the floods. They come in and they destroy too. And I understand the insult to injury in this case is I understand that people now are going, looters are going in and rummaging, sifting through the remains to find anything that might be valuable that's left out of a person's property. I mean, doesn't it add insult to the injury that they've already had? And this is going on. And it helps and underlies Jesus' very point. The things in this world are only temporal. The moth is going to destroy them, okay? The fire is going to burn it. The floods are going to wash it away. The thief is going to steal it. And we're not going to have any of these things left. It's the old adage, you can't take it with you, no matter what you want. You guys heard, about the guy that that asked to be buried with his truck, his pickup truck. You guys heard about him? Some of you are laughing. You know it, okay? But the guy, an old farmer, he said he wanted to be buried with his pickup truck whenever he died. So he died, and they buried it, and they found out why. Because he said he's never been in a spot that his pickup truck wasn't able to get him out of, okay? And so he was hoping to get out. Well, I'm sorry, there comes a time we don't get out of those holes, okay? We don't get out of those predicaments. And it doesn't matter, we're going to have to deal with what's there. And here Jesus is reminding us that life, this life is temporary. The things that we depend upon in this world are not going to sustain. They're not going to go on forever. They're going to be destroyed. And so the question is, he says, what are you going to invest in then? Are you going to invest in the things of this world? You pick up the toys, you build your bank accounts, you build your homes, you build your castles, you store up your riches, your products. And he says, but what's going to happen to all of those? When you die, they're going to be gone. Whenever you face a crisis like this that these people are facing in California right now, the people back in the Southeast, what they faced, and other people are facing around the world. Everything in this world can be taken away from you. So what's going to be left? He says, do what? Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Whenever I hear that, I think of that song, and you guys may remember it, and some of you could probably remember it better than I do, but it's thank you, you know, the thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for thank you for giving to the Lord. That's it. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. The story is this guy dies, he goes to heaven, he's there, and then he sees a line of people gathering as they come up to him. And one of them says, thank you for being that Sunday school teacher. Thank you for taking the time out of your life to teach me so that I could hear about Jesus, because I received him into my life one day in our class, in our Sunday school class. And somebody else says, thank you for giving to this missionary, because of that missionary, he came and he told me the story of Jesus, and I'm here now because you gave to that missionary. And it goes on and tells the story of these people who are coming up, and their chorus is, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Okay? And I think of that. And the question is are you investing in those things that are going to last? Are you going to invest in heaven, which is going to last, or simply in the things of this world? I've come to that point, and I think about that passage, and I think that the Bible teaches us for sure that there are three things that are going to last forever. Now, there may be, you may, in your studies, come up with something else that I've missed or haven't heard about or whatever, and that's fine. There may be more, but I know that there are three things that last forever. So in the first passage, in 1 Peter chapter 1, if you want to flip your Bible, the pages there, it's now on page 1481 for me, okay, if that helps you. All right, but on in 1 Peter chapter 1, you know, I want to tell you, guys, I've made fun about how they reference scripture passages and the fact that it was just kind of a random hitting on the page that they divided up the page. But I'm thankful that they did that. It makes it so much easier for us to locate these things when we're talking about them. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter is quoting from Isaiah. He found something that Isaiah said that spoke to him, and he's sharing it with us. He says, for, in verse 24, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, he says, all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. He's reminding us that we're just a wisp. We're just a wisp. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. The things in our lives are not going to be the things that go on for eternity at this point. But what does endure is the Word of God. So one of the things he's telling us is that something that is going to last forever is the Word of God. So the question is what do we do with that? Well, I think what it's telling us is we need to invest our lives in the Word of God. Okay, the Gideons, make sure the Bible is distributed all over. I'm so thankful for the Gideons being willing to take that, passing out the Word of God, making sure that people have it. But the Word of God goes on forever. So what we can do is allow that Word of God to work within us. I think that, you know, I typically, the things you recommend at this time are, you know, you do the typical things. You read your Bible. You study your Bible. You involve yourself in a class someplace, sometime, where you're studying the Word of God. You memorize the Word of God, and you put it in your heart and treasure it and let it make a change. But the big thing is, the biggest thing is you apply the Word of God into your life. So many times we read it, and we put it on the shelf and forget what we've read. So many times we listen to a sermon and we put it on the shelf and go on with our lives. So many times we go to a study, but we never apply what we've learned in the way we choose to live. And I think one of the things Peter is emphasizing is that Word of God and the changes it makes within you are going to last forever. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, according to the Scripture. And it will make changes and differences in our lives when we allow it to have that impact, when we take the time to spend with the Word of God. That's why every week we're encouraging you to join a Bible study, a Bible study here, Bible study. By the way, we're going to be starting two new Bible studies. One, and I forgot to bring up the book, is the Knowing God Bible Study. Back in the back, we have a stack of books. They're called Knowing God. I'm looking for people, for hosts, people that will open their home up to having a Bible study in their home. I'm looking for people who will teach that Bible study. Doesn't have the same person who hosts it doesn't have to be the one that teaches it. Might work well if it is, but it doesn't have to be. But the point is that Bible study is designed to simply to introduce your neighbors, the people surrounding your home, to the Word of God, to answer questions about how they can know God. And if you're interested in participating in that, I'd like you to talk to me, okay? The other thing, other Bible study, is a while back we were having a study on during the midweek. Well, we canceled it while we were dealing with Ginger's health issues and stuff because never quite sure what the schedules were going to be. But that's kind of going behind us now as we're moving forward. Thanks to the good report, right? Well, we're going to be starting a Wednesday Bible study again, okay? And we decided upon 4 o'clock, isn't that right? I had to double check. My wife tells me everything. So 4 o'clock on Wednesdays, we're going to be starting another Bible study. I haven't determined the date, but probably we'll start it the first week in February. Okay. So we'll start on Wednesdays in beginning in February, another Bible study. So there are Bible studies that you can join and put the Word of God in your heart. The second thing that lasts forever is told us in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. And that's just a few pages to the right, if you want to turn to your right in your Bible. But Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. This is where John's looking and seeing a vision in heaven. And he's describing for us what he saw. And in verse 8, he says, "And when he had taken it," talking about a scroll that he saw, "and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense." Now listen to this. "Which are," what? "The prayers of God's people." Those golden bowls. King James translated that word as vials, and I've always thought of the tubes, okay, that you put a plug in and stuff. And that God takes your prayers. He takes the prayers that you have. He puts them in that vial, and he stores them for eternity. They're located in heaven with eternity. So the time that you spend praying, allowing God to speak to your heart, and sharing your heart and your concerns for the neighbors, for your friends, for your family, these are prayers that are God takes and stores them on the shelves. He has a whole vault full of them, I'm sure, okay, of prayers. Some have a bigger bowl than others, okay? And, you know, I'm one of those ones with small bowls, with a small bowl. But the point is that God takes our prayers and stores them. He saves them for us. So one of the things you can invest in that'll last for eternity are prayers, your time in prayer. A final thing, however, and I find this interesting, when you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, it talks about the Word of God. Revelation talks about prayer, okay? These are things that talk about our relationship with God. And if you remember, Jesus was asked a question. In each of the Gospels, it shows that Jesus was asked the question, "What's the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment?" And they came back, and he says, the answer is in Mark chapter 12. So if you want to look in Mark chapter 12, see, I thought we'd still get to Mark today. But in Mark chapter 12, in verse 28, it says, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. And noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?'" So he says, God, he says to Jesus, he says, "I want to know, what really matters in this life? What is it that really everything boils down to? What is the one thing I've got to pay attention to?" Okay, in verse 28. And then in verse 29, Jesus responded to him. He says, "The most important one," answered Jesus, "of all the commandments in the Old Testament, of all the commandments you've ever, of all the things your mother's told you to do and all the things she's told you not to do, of all the things that you're supposed to be doing, this is it," he says, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love," this is the command, guys, "love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength." Wow. Those first two items, 1 Peter chapter 1, Revelation, prayer, Word of God, that relates to our relationship with God. Invest in that relationship with God is basically it, is what he's saying here. Take everything in your life, present it to God. That's what's really going to matter. That's the most important thing. But then he goes back and he says, and the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. You see, if you go through the Bible, one of the things that lasts forever, as you'll see, is the human soul. Our bodies are not going to last forever. Not these bodies. They'll be transformed. But these bodies are not going to last forever. We hold tightly onto the things in this world, because we think they will last. But they're not going to last forever. What is going to last is the individual, the soul, the character, the spirit of that person, however you want it, the being, okay, the essence. That's going to last forever. And it's going to last eternally, either in heaven or in hell. One of the two. So when it comes down to things to invest in, I would come down and say we need to invest in people. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second part of the Great Commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because the individual will last forever. And so as we consider that, the question then becomes, how do you invest in another person? How do you store up treasures in another person? And I think part of that is the way we interact with people. You know, there are people that we encounter every day, and we wonder what happened to that person to make them so bitter, to make them so angry. But then there are other people we encounter every day, and we wonder, how did that person learn so much love? How did that person learn to give? And I think one of the things we need to do is in our lives is consider, how is it that we are interacting with others so that we are touching that life in a positive way? Love others. When I first came here, I told you one of my life verse is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. I don't know if any of you remember that and even remember that verse. But it says in that verse, it says, let us consider studying one another, how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love, to helpful deeds, to noble activities. As we encounter people in our lives, are we interacting with them in such a way that we're stirring them up, that we're stimulating them, that we're urging them on, that we're prompting them? I mean, the idea I always get is the cattle prod. Are we prompting that person, prodding that person towards love, towards good works, towards helpful deeds? You see, I think that that's what we need to be about in our lives. And I think one of the ways we invest in things that are going to last forever and that really define us are those relationships. Now think about your relationships with your family, your parents, your children, your spouses, your brothers, your sisters, your siblings, others in your family, the people that you would consider to be your family. How do you interact with them? I'm always intrigued when I find in family relationships where it seems that the family member is simply taken for granted. There's not the common courtesies of thank you. There aren't the common courtesies of looking for ways to help that person and lift them up. There aren't the common courtesies extended within that family relationship. And I think one of the things we do is too oftentimes we take for granted those that are in our immediate circle. And we think we can abuse them or mistreat them or speak poorly to them or ignore them because they're part of our family and they have to tolerate us. Are you willing to let Christ take his word come into your life, change you so that you can encourage others? You know, as I think about all of this, I want to tell you one quick story, and I know I'm getting close to the end of time here. I'm running out of time. But this past Christmas, we just came from Christmas. We've still got the decorations to remind us. But this past Christmas, and by the way, I want to know, why is it that we got to take the Christmas decorations down when you watch Christmas movies all year long? What was that? I don't get it. Anyway, okay. Back to the point. We just went through and had our Christmas celebration. During that time, I came across an article that was published on one of the news agencies, okay, the websites. And I was intrigued by that article as I read through it. It was comparing Jesus and Augustus Caesar. And I never had thought about it before, and so I stopped and I read through that article, and I began looking. And the essence of the article was to say this. Here was Caesar Augustus, okay? He was born Gaius Octavian. Okay, and as such, he was the nephew, the great great nephew of Julius Caesar. You remember the plight of Julius Caesar? He was kind of trying to raise himself up as emperor and change the Roman Republic to an empire. And he was trying to disband the Senate and stuff. He was attacked, he was killed, he was assassinated. Well, if you remember the history, Octavian came back to defend his father, his stepfather, his adopted father, his great uncle, okay, and came back to that. He made an alliance with a couple other guys. They found the assassins and they got rid of them. And then they divided up the Roman Republic kind of into three regions, three separate groups, okay? Well, then Octavian went about conquering and taking back the empire from these other two. He's conquered them. And now he had the Republic back together as one unit. He had kind of exalted himself as the only emperor, changed his name to Augustus, and deified his great uncle, making his great uncle a god, assuming that kind of the same role, stepping into the same role, calling himself Augustus, and establishing himself as the first ruler of the United Roman Empire. It changed from a republic under his leadership. Julius Caesar gave it kind of the push toward that direction, but Octavian completed that and changed the Roman Republic to the Roman Empire. The strategists look back on that. Here was Octavian. He had become the greatest, probably the greatest political leader in all of history through what he was able to accomplish. The Roman Empire lasted for over 1,500 years. Roughly 1,500, 1,400 and some odd years. 1,500 years that Roman Empire established that Octavian put in place. Wow! Think about it. This political power, this political might that established it. He was considered probably the wealthiest person in the world at this time. And for 200 years under Octavian, he established the principles that set the Roman peace in motion that lasted for over 200 years, where there were no real fights of any significance within the empire. A peace that settled on the Roman Empire. This man was powerful. He was tremendous. Of course, he did it because he ruled with an iron fist, in essence. He put down. And the Romans, Octavian, like the rest of the Romans, considered those who were weak or poor or under as simply less. For them, it was power, it was strength, it was might that made you great. About 30 years in to Octavian's rule, he ruled for 45 years. And we still have remnants of his ruling affecting us today. The month of August has been named in honor of him, okay? So we still have touches of that. Now think about that and compare that with the birth that we celebrated. How many people sang to Augustus this past year? But how many people sang praises to Jesus and worshiped him? Think about it. Octavian is a thing in the past. Yeah, there's still some influence, but he's a thing in the past. Compare that. Here was Jesus born in a little manger. Octavian was born as a prince into the aristocracy of the Roman government. Jesus was born in a stable, ignored by the ruling classes. Jesus was raised in obscurity for 30 years. But he spent 3 years of his life making an impact in the world. And he died upon a cross in disrespect, disrespected by the Romans, died as a thief, basically. He was put away. And yet, think of the difference between the empire that Octavian left and what Christ has done. How many hospitals have been built in the name of Jesus Christ to honor him? How many charities have been established? How many thousands and millions of people continue to be impacted because of him? How many people continue to worship his name and sing carols and sing songs every year to Jesus Christ? Why? Octavian destroyed lives. Octavian destroyed people. Jesus Christ died to serve people. The thing that's going to last forever. And so as we look at these fires that are devastating the people that we love, the people that we know, friends, families, our communities, even if we don't know the individuals, what's left of those? Because what you've got in your life as far as material things is going to be gone. So what are you going to invest in? What are you going to spend your time investing in this world? Christ chose to invest in people. He died for them, to love them, to care for them. I think it's so true that we need to weigh that and determine that we too are going to love people the way Christ did. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that as we go from this place, that these words will not just stop. I pray, God, that we'll let your word, the scripture, continue to speak to us, to tell us how we're to live, to tell us, remind us what's important. And I pray, God, that we might have the same heart that Christ had. We might give to others as he gave.